Two, one. Oh my God. Life really feels like a video game when I'm seeing the countdown for our live show today. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Another episode of DU Real with Jackie and Amanda. And life feels like a video game sometimes, and sometimes it does not.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, it's when you take things less seriously, it just feels everything feels like play. Even when you're at work, it's like I work in a restaurant, so it's like restaurant simulator. You know, that's what kind of what I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh no, like we just got sat a new table, but I need to get chips, but I need and it's really fun, honestly. And I get to collect my money and count my tips, and I'm like, ooh. Like
Right.
this is fun. Yeah, but that can be applied to literally anything. This podcast is really just like a fun experiment that we do week in and week out. And the more that we've been doing it, the more comfortable I felt just knowing that I don't have to prepare and that I can just show up and the conversation will unfold as it will, and there's no right way for it to go. It's just however it goes is how it goes. It's not even that it's supposed to go that way. It's just that it did. So it's not really worth thinking about beyond that, right?
No. I love that you said like the restaurant simulator, because I feel like that with work, right? And so it's like it's like new goal, new objective, you know, clear 12 tables, collect 12 coins, you know. You're just like, but I feel the same way with my, I work in a corporate office, and it feels like the same thing, like respond to 12 emails, get 12 coins, you know. And so it's like do, press send, ding, coins, do. Coins collected, exclamation point, you know. So I definitely feel that way when I don't take my job seriously. When I do, it feels like a nightmare scenario. And every job has felt like that. Anytime I've taken myself seriously, when I was a waitress, when I was working in an office, when I was working in odds and ends jobs, when I was cleaning houses for people's like beach houses, it always felt like a nightmare whenever I took it seriously. But whenever I wasn't taking it seriously, it always felt like a video game. You know, like do, you know, I just and I love that feeling. More recently I've been feeling, I definitely get the game style vibe when I'm driving, because it feels like I'm watching like the video downloading as I'm driving. I was like, wow, these simulations are great, guys. This is fantastic. You know, we need to give our design team a raise.
It's like wow, the world keeps generating as I walk around. Like there's no end to it. I could just keep walking forever. I can experience so many different things, and it's not even that I really have to try to. Like that's I feel like what we are getting at with the whole video game thing. It's like it's kind of automatic, or maybe not automatic, but it's a lot less heavy. It's like, yeah, this doesn't mean anything about me. I'm just doing this role right now. I'm playing this character. I'm doing these specific tasks in exchange for money. But I can really go into any situation without the weight, and then it just feels like another experience to be had, another like exploration to explore. It's like, oh, okay, this is something I haven't done before. This is a new person I haven't talked to. You can just have that curiosity about really anything, and that's what makes you be able to get through the workday without hating your life, or like to get the most out of really anything that you do in life. It's like you can let go of the extra weight, because really reality is just what it is. Your life is just what it is, and your opinions about it, your judgments and perspectives about yourself and whatever your environment means about you, that's what's creating all the weight. And yeah, sometimes it feels really heavy. Like when I'm thinking a lot about like, oh, I could be working a better job by now. I just focusing on all the things that you don't like about it and turning yourself into a victim, that can be tempting sometimes. But also, most of the time when I go into work and I don't really think about it or I'm not dreading it, I actually have a good time. I like chat with my coworkers and my like the guests that come in. There's always some new drama going on. There's always some interesting people that come in, and I always learn something every day, even if it's something small, and that's still worthy of appreciation, you know?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, it certainly is such a buzzkill. Hold on, excuse me, everyone. Well, I had to turn off while I mute my work computer because, you know, what's life without juggling multiple balls, you know? Got two hands for a reason. I should be juggling all times, you know? Oh my goodness. No, but work has been just going, right? Because it doesn't have to be this nightmarish scenario. It doesn't have to be heavy. Because it doesn't have to be taken so seriously. Like, even when things don't go the way that you want, you know, the company that I'm working for is has been sold. And so everybody is feeling super weird at work and feeling tense and nervous and anxious. And I empathize with that completely, because I also feel a little anxious and nervous. But then I remind myself, like, even when the company was not sold, still didn't mean that I knew the future then. It still didn't mean that the job that I was working was any more secure. And so now it feels like, you know, I can say from my perspective that there is no such thing as job security. There is no such thing as life security, you know, because you, in order to have that security, you're making the assumption that you know what's going to happen next and that you have a plan for what happens next. And when it goes the way that you want, you have your plan. And when it doesn't go the way that you want, you have your other plan. And that guarantees certain results. And that is just a pure assumption. And so it doesn't feel like my job is any less certain than it was before or after the company got sold. The company could have folded. The company could have done great. It could have expanded. You know, the company could have stayed around and changed my position because I'm in the marketing department. And, you know, that department always gets slashed, you know, as soon as the company is having financial difficulties, they usually cut their marketing. And so even if the company stood around, the department could have got cut. So it's like, you know, where am I going to get this job security? Because it doesn't happen when I'm the CEO, and it doesn't happen when someone else is the CEO, because you just never know what the future is going to be. And so I'm like, okay, so it was always unpredictable. Fantastic. Like, into a certain degree, I prefer reminding myself of that than being like, oh no, now the future is really uncertain. You know, before I knew, and now everything changed. But it's like, no, that wasn't true either. Even when I thought that I knew what was coming next, that still didn't guarantee that that would happen next. So the future is always uncertain. So what am I so nervous about? You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was thinking when you were saying, like, there is no job security, it's like the only security that you have is just your infinite potential. Like, you always know that you got that in the back pocket. Like, because your idea about what you can and can't do just isn't true. Like, you theoretically have the potential to be or do anything. Like, you are intelligence, and whatever scenario or situation that you're dropped into, you'll figure it out. Right? In some way, shape, or form. And if not, you'll learn from it. But, like, there's always another job to be had. There's always a new path that you could go down. So it's like, you can have security in that, at least, like, no matter what happens with any one specific job or scenario, you will still be you. And you will still have just as much potential as you always had. And you will figure it out the way that you always have. So, like, we don't need to feel so, like, unstable and insecure and, like, vulnerable. Like, I think that feeling comes from the limited idea of ourselves as, like, a person that can do these things and not these things and is good at certain things and not at others, because that limits the possibilities that we consider as potentials in our future, right? And so we see our lives going a specific way. That's why we cling on to specific jobs or careers or situations, relationships even. But like without that idea, you're just playing out one of the infinite possibilities of things that could be happening. And once this one ends, you'll just go into another one, and that'll always be the case. So like, it's like the only constant is change. Like the only security is uncertainty. And yourself, like faith in yourself. That's really like, that's really the only thing that we have at the end of the day is ourselves, and knowing that whatever happens, I'll be with me and I'll do my best. And that's really all I can do. So there's not really a point in worrying about it beyond that. Like when the time to act comes, I'll act. And if it's not time to act, there's nothing I can do, then I can relax. But I tend to like overthink in every sort of situation, thinking that's gonna do anything to control the outcome, but it never has. And constantly in my life, my assumptions and my plans are proven wrong. And every single time, my life has turned out completely different from what I've expected. So at this point, I'm kind of seeing that there's not really a point in continuing to feed into those like plans and take them really seriously and hang on to them. I'm like, okay, well, I can make a plan, but I know this isn't going to be how it plays out. So like, I might as well just make a decision and go find out when I'm in that situation, right? Like, I'm only really thinking about the next step.
Yeah, and not paying attention to the step that you're on. And I have such a habit of doing that. In the comments, you know, I read, you know, I don't know where I'd be right now had I not found DU. You know, thank you so much. And it's like I resonate with that feeling because I felt very similarly, and I still do. You know, like I'm so grateful to have these chats with you, Jackie. I'm so grateful to have these chats with our, with the public Zoom call and the Patreon calls and on the Discord. And oh my God, I have never laughed more in my life. You know, I love you guys. You guys crack me up to the point where I will be on the literal floor rolling on the floor laughing, eyes watering, tears clutching my stomach, like gasping for air because I am just dying in laughter because of something that someone said and or a story that somebody's telling us. And Rika, and like I love the conversations that I have with everyone, but I do want to remind everyone, including myself, you know, I'm so grateful to have these chats with you, but I am also grateful for all of the work that I did that helped me develop an appreciation for having these conversations with everyone. It's not just that, oh, I found this golden ticket of a community. I found this golden ticket of a podcast and all of a sudden now my life is on track, or now I am sure, I'm certain, you know, I feel better. It's like, don't forget of all the work that you have done or still doing on your own when none of us are there. You know, that means something, that matters. And that helped put us in the mindset, put us in a space where we could appreciate this kind of conversation when we did find it, because had I found this exact setup 10 years ago, I do not imagine that I would have been receptive to it. I do not think that I would have been in a space where I could appreciate having a conversation with a community like DU. So yes, I'm so glad that I found you guys, but I'm so glad that you all are doing the work, have done so much to appreciate and can join in a conversation like this and only add to it, you know, instead of going in thinking, you know, what am I getting out of this? How is this making me better? You know, because the way that you show up is enough, and all of us are showing up. And I think that the way that we're showing up, I think is just as important to what we're showing up to.
Yeah, the way that you show up is everything, because you're the one that's shaping your perceptions of anything. So yeah, if you're resonating with this conversation, it's not because we're telling you anything, or like, I don't know, none of these insights really matter at the end of the day if you
if they're not resonating with you, like if you're not allowing them to like challenge the beliefs and assumptions that you've made about yourself and about reality, and you have to have a willingness to be uncertain and a little bit open-minded. And so that work is all your own. And that actually took me a while to realize too. It's like, at first when I found this conversation, I definitely looked up to Andrew and Ray as like, okay, they figured it out somehow. Like they must live kind of differently, or they must like experience reality differently because of these insights or whatever. But the more and more I have this conversation, I'm like, we're saying the same things. And I know that at this point now, that it's like, you never arrive somewhere other than right where you are. So we're really just here on the ground together. And it's just about the conversation. It's not about any single person. And so something that I love having, like with having conversations with this community, is that almost it doesn't matter who the conversation is with. Obviously, like every single person expresses it differently, but it's like just as insightful and just as like, I feel just as connected, like no matter who I'm talking to, just because there's like an openness, and it's felt with every single person in the community, you know, who's willing to come to the Patreon calls and like come to retreats. And yeah, like there really is this felt connection of like, yeah, I'm alone just like you. And we're here dealing with our shit individually together. And really, it's all the same shit, because we're really all the same organism, or I don't even know what. We're all the same reality unfolding. We're all just like different parts of God processing our own little bits of it. And it's cool that we can connect and have these conversations, but you can carry this feeling of lightness and openness into your own life, regardless of whether you're involved with DU or not. Like, you could stop listening right now and never come back and still be contributing just as much as if you're showing up weekly. Like, it really is just about your relationship with yourself. Yeah. And that's something I'm realizing more and more. It's like, okay, well, there's definitely some conflict internally of like me versus myself, right? And that's what I carry with me into every situation. And it's not about changing anything else outside of me. It's just being able to sit with myself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's enough. Like, just being okay with whatever I'm going through, with whatever I'm thinking or feeling, it's all okay. And then when I do that, I'm able to appreciate my experience a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's being alone together, you know, and I love that. Way less weight in being alone together. And I completely agree. There is way less weight because there's less attachment. You know, it's realizing I am enough, and I don't need anyone or anything to complete me. I love it. There is, that said, we're hanging out in the lounge on Discord after Do Your Real. So feel free to join if you're available. And so that is awesome. I love that. Thank you so much, Jazz. It is dope. That's what I mean. Like, I have so much fun with you guys. But I feel like I have more fun because I don't need to have fun. I don't need you guys to like me. I don't need to like anyone. It's just like, it's just enjoying sharing space and not needing it to be any particular way. And that is way more fun and full of surprises. And so I love that. Like, the best things in life are unexpected because there were no expectations. Expectations, you know, almost come with guaranteed disappointment because you expect it and you're expecting it to be a certain type of way. And then it usually doesn't happen. And so you're disappointed because it didn't happen the way that you wanted it to, the way that you expected it to. And so I love surprises. And even when something surprises me and I'm like resistant to it, it's like, what am I holding on to? Let's find out. Dig deeper. You know? Let it go. I'm not holding on to shit. Look at your knuckles. They're white. Ah, white knuckle gripping it. I'm like, shit. Oh my goodness. But it takes that self-honesty too, you know, because I still feel needy sometimes. But I check that need, right? It's like, it doesn't have to be. No one has to do anything. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to hold on. Like, just, you know, just check for the clench. Are we clenching? Are we holding? Are we expecting something? It's like, you know, it's hard to deny that because the tension is felt, it's embodied. So it's really hard for me to lie to myself and say like, oh, I don't care. And it's like, oh yeah, well, you don't care. And you've been pacing in your fucking living room for 20 minutes. Oh, you don't, Mrs. Don't care. Sure you don't. You know, like the evidence is clear, case closed. No. Oh my goodness. But that little bit of self-honesty and laughing at it because it's like, oh, look who thinks the universe revolves around the idea of you again. You know, like I find myself laughing so much more when I do take things too super seriously, you know, and then it gives me an opportunity. It's like, okay, well, yes, we're laughing. And then once we stop laughing, okay, it's like, okay, like let's take, like if we feel like it, like let's take a look at why we did take it so seriously. And I'm glad we're laughing about that now, but it's like, usually I take things seriously because I think that it means something about me. And I think that it means something in a way that is usually tied to like an old habit of like validation and an old habit of identification, because I'm so used to doing that. And my environment is absolutely encourages for that to happen over and over. But then, you know, thankfully there are other opportunities where you see someone who is not taking it seriously, or you see them taking it too seriously. Like I was going on a walk the other day and I got yelled at by like this, you know, a cranky old woman. And she was just so upset that I just happened to be stopped in front of her house. And she's like, you know, like, what are you doing? And I had seen her earlier that day. And I just, I think, you know, because she saw me earlier and then I just happened to have stopped in front of her house and I was looking on my phone for something. So I was like, oh, you know, I just wanted to search something. And so I did, and I'm on a public road. And so I wasn't thinking that I'm doing anything wrong, but like the timing of things and how I saw her earlier, we didn't say anything, but I had seen her earlier. And then I happened to have stopped in front of her house. I had no idea it was her house, but then she came back and I was like, I know that cranky old fucking woman. I saw her earlier today. And she loses her top because I just happened to have stopped in front of her. And I'm just like, damn, nobody is. I promise you, woman, I was not scoping your house to break in later, you know? But she took things so seriously. She's like, I'm gonna call the cops. And I'm like, you do that. I am the fuck out of here. I am out, you know? And then I went to the store and I got some snacks and I went about my business and I was having a great afternoon and I still was having a great, I laughed. I was almost stunned shock when she first started yelling at me because I'm just like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know what? She's not the only one in the room who's taking things super seriously. You know what? It's for a good laugh. She was a great reminder and I empathized with her and I didn't, you know, get into a big debate with her about anything. I just was like, okay, this is my opportunity to pivot and I'm going to pivot in the opposite direction. I will see you. Bon voyage. Good day. Good day, madam. I will see you. I will see myself off. Exit stage right, you know? And so, because sometimes, you know, as much as I can empathize with somebody doesn't also mean that I have to walk them through their temper tantrum. And we talked about this a little bit about work, you know, how that can come up. And it's like, you can empathize with people. You don't have to lose your top, but you also don't, you're not required to hold their hand and walk them through their emotions, you know, because everybody has that ability to do that, especially adults, you know, because we've had so many opportunities to practice. And that's the only reason why I said, of course, for adults, it's just with all the opportunities, you know, they were there in front of you, even if you didn't take them. So I'm so glad that I get to see those reminders in others, but see that in myself, and then realize that, you know, I take things seriously when I think it means something about me. And it's an old habit, but there are always new opportunities. So old habits be damned. You know, you walk in any direction that you want, because there's nothing that says that you have to do anything in any particular way. We figure it out as we go.
Yeah, that's actually hilarious that you got yelled at. Oh my God. But I have situations that happen, like random things where people get mad at me too. And it's funny, like witnessing somebody's temper tantrum and like so clearly seeing that it has nothing to do with me and being like, okay, I don't know what the fuck you're dealing with, lady, but like, sorry about that. But I'll go if you really want me to. But it can be tricky because sometimes I'll be tempted, like when things like that happen, to like defend myself internally and be like, what the fuck is wrong with that lady? Like, you know what I mean? and be like, because I think it means something about me. Like, that's I only take it seriously and get my feelings hurt when I feel like their behavior is a reflection of me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as soon as you recognize, no, everyone's shit is their own, and the way they behave is because of the way that they're seeing the world and perceiving the situation that they're in right now, it really has nothing to do with me because they don't actually know me in any real way. They just are only seeing me in a way that is consistent with their current beliefs about the world, or like who they need me to be to fit into their story. So mm-hmm. Yeah, now more so when people overreact to shit, I'm like, okay, you know, but it doesn't hit me, but it's like I feel like they get the vibe that like it's not hurting me, and so that in and of itself is like, that's almost worse than if you were to like yell back, you know what I mean? Like the person is just like reflected back how they're being childish, or like how they have nothing to like hang on to if you don't respond in a way that's like aggressive back, and it's kind of lighthearted. They're like, they're confused almost. They're like, why isn't this hurting their feelings? Like, why is this not getting a reaction out of
them? Why is she laughing? This isn't like funny. Oh my God.
Yelling at her. Why is she laughing? It's like,
oh my God. Yeah.
That's the best response you can give them, because it's so unsatisfying to whatever thing they're trying to project onto you. Right. It's like, oh, don't know where that came from, but you be safe.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. I definitely that, because that reminds me of when I got in trouble with the security guard, because I had brought an apple. I brought food into some place that I wasn't supposed to bring food, and it was an apple. And for the life of me, I thought nothing of it. In retrospect, I'm like, oh shit, I did. There is a rule. There is a rule that's no food, right? And I totally forgot about the rule. And I brought the apple into the event or into the space, and the security guard was so fucking mad at me. He was just like, is that an apple? And I was like, yeah, it's an apple. Like, so innocently. He's like, I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. That's not allowed. You need to throw that away right now. And I'm just like, I will throw this away right now, sir. Like, don't you worry. I'm not gonna die on Apple Hill. Like, no, nah, man. But it just amazed me, like, how seriously, like, I feel like he would have possibly tried to eject me from that venue for having an apple. I just felt like he took that so seriously that it's like, if I didn't destroy the apple immediately, I was going to get launched out of there. And he was going to be like, she's banned for life, the apple bringer. So I have my poster on the door. But it just
wanted,
like,
dead or alive.
Dead or alive. You know, check it for apples.
I just wanted a snack, I swear. I wasn't doing anything shady.
Apparently I was. The apples are shady. Oh my God, man. But like, the lady and the guy, like, they crack me up. Like, I am laughing. Like, those are funny stories for me in retrospect, but it's just like, Jesus Christ, we're getting, this is like, I feel like a war could have been started over that apple. Jesus Christ. I didn't know it was so lethal. I didn't know. What's this rule against apples? Like, what did they do? Like, what is, I just feel like our priorities are so out of whack sometimes, because the shit that I could get in trouble for, I'm just like, this is it. This is the deal breaker, a fucking apple. Oh my God. But you would have thought I brought an AK-47 the way he was talking to me. I swear to God.
He thought you were disguising the apple as a grenade, like a grenade.
No fruits, because they might be bombs.
They might be. The flavor is explosive. Oh my goodness, man. The things that people get worked up about, I swear, I'm like, you don't have nothing. Like, this is what we're fighting for.
Yeah, but sometimes the things I throw tantrums over are really not that big of a deal either. And oh God, that's the funniest of all, is when I throw a tantrum or like I'm like pissed off about something so insignificant. And then I kind of have this, I have this feeling of like an internal split between like a mother and a child sort of vibe. Like, so when I have like a reaction, like that's coming from my like conditioning or like my habits or beliefs, and I recognize that now. So then the mother part of me looks at the part of me that's throwing a tantrum and is like, okay, take some deep breaths, like maybe let's cry it out if you need to. But we're not, just because we're frustrated doesn't mean we're gonna yell at people, does not mean we're gonna hit people, right? Like, like the same way I would talk to like a child, or like, just because you're sad doesn't mean you're gonna send that text message. Like, no, don't do it. Like,
don't lash out.
Yeah. Or like, I know where like a lot of those behaviors or feelings are coming from. Or maybe not exactly, but I know that I don't need to cope with them in the sometimes destructive or needy ways that I have in the past, right? And like, yeah, trying to fix an internal problem or conflict that I'm having through some sort of external source. I'm learning that really nobody else can really address the root cause of whatever I'm feeling. Like, that only comes with me sitting with myself and like really taking it in and like allowing that shit to process, accepting it, like allowing it to like wash over me, feel it fully, but then be like, okay, but you don't have to do anything about this. Like, this is just, it's okay that you're feeling this way, but the part of me that it's apparent is like, okay, but we have better ways of coping, and we have new strategies now that actually contribute to like healing those parts of myself that get triggered. Or like, I think the whole time I really just wanted my own attention and nurturing and validation and acceptance, right? So it's been nice to be able to give that to myself more often than like when I'm triggered, expecting somebody else to fix that for me, because most of the time I end up disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, of course, because you can't, not you can't, but it's really hard for someone else to fix a different problem than the one that you presented to them, right? And so the way that I, when I would hear advice from older couples that had been together for a long time, something that I would hear often was just that the argument is not about the argument. And that's what a lot of older couples would tell me about their relationships. You know, if the partner was upset, if one of the partners was upset about the trash not being taken out, usually really wasn't about the trash. It was usually that, like, what people are verbally complaining about is something that they think is justified. And so that's why they're more likely to share it. But what's really brewing underneath the surface is what they're not talking about. And that's usually what the issue is stemming from. That's the root of it. But when they're telling you that, you know, the trash is the issue, you take out the trash, you come back into the house, and you wonder why they're so pissed off. It's because it wasn't actually about the fucking trash can. You know, like, the argument is usually not never about the argument, because it's usually just, you know, a surface level issue, because people are, there's a lot of resistance to conflict. And I think it's more, there's a lot of resistance to disagreement. And we often associate, like, to disagree means to have a conflict with somebody. And it's like, it really doesn't. We can disagree about anything. And that doesn't mean that we actually have to be arguing about it, or that I hate you or that you hate me because we don't agree on something. So what? So what that I don't have the same opinion as you about whatever it may be? That doesn't mean that I don't respect your perspective, or that I don't respect where you're coming from. And even if we don't agree, I'd love to ask you a few more questions. I'd love to find out, like, what led you to thinking that, because, you know, I thought it was this and this, and let me wheel out the white erase board here are my equations. And I put, do you have a scientist jacket? We should put them on. You know, it feels like it's the right time. Let's put on our jackets. Let's have a brainstorming session, you know? And I feel like that's way more fun to share and explore perspectives versus just to defend one to the end. But a lot of the feedback that I got when I was younger was that, you know, don't be fickle, you know, don't change your mind too often. You know, you need to make an opinion, and then you need to have that opinion for the rest of your life. But I respect people that are able to take in new information and to alter their perspective, accordingly, you know? So, but to be fickle and to change your mind has definitely been discouraged. You know, a lot of criticisms, like, oh, they're so fickle, they change their mind so often.
Yeah, I used to beat myself up for that all the time, because it was frustrating to me that, like, any sort of situation or scenario I was in, it felt like I had, like, two opposite beliefs or perspectives about everything, or, like, I could never make up my mind about shit. Like, I thought indecisive, and I saw that as, like, a really negative thing. And I do think an aspect of that was me being afraid of, like, making a quote-unquote mistake, and so, like, I would struggle to make decisions. But I think also it's just the fact that I've always been pretty open-minded and, like, willing to question what I usually would think. Like, I would be able to see other people's perspectives a lot, or, like, what I assume would be their perspective, or just step outside of my own perspective. And of course, I do get caught up. Like, I'm not saying I'm, like, immune. Oh, of course. Hell no. Like, I'm very much, like, up my own asshole sometimes. Anywho, moving on. But
I
have my head up my ass.
That's grab the scope.
I had my head up my ass. The word "hole" is really not required.
Oh my
there.
God, that's so funny. No. We get so zoomed in. We get sucked in.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. That's the source of all of our conflict in, like, relationships, is, like, needing to feel like we're right and not being able to accept that somebody else could think something else, because we see that as a threat to our security, our false sense of certainty, right? Because if one thing that I believe to be true maybe isn't true, then what about all these other things? Like, what about my belief in God? What about my belief in the government, you know, having our best interest at heart? What about my belief that, like, everything is going to be okay, or that there's somebody looking out for me? Like, then those, like, deeper beliefs are shaken a little bit. And that's why people react out of anger over, like, little disagreements or little things. Like, I like how you mentioned, like, the argument is never really about the argument. And that applies also to, like, our relationship with ourselves. I think a lot of the
little things that I get frustrated, like with myself over, like, mm-hmm. like procrastinating something that I need to get done, or like not being able to change like a bad habit that I like recognize that I want to change, and like still doing the things that are habitual. Like, those are symptoms of like something deeper underneath. And so almost like fixating on that and judging myself over those little things is avoiding the bigger problem underneath that can only really be faced by just sitting with myself and like feeling my emotions. And in terms of like relationships with other people, like that's why people break up. They're like, oh, like my idea of you isn't compatible with my idea of me anymore. Like, 'cause you're proving that you're not the idea of you that I always thought you were. And that's making me mad. And so I'm trying to convince you to believe what I believe and agree with me, and change the things about yourself that I think are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you to be the version of you that I think you are.
Mm-hmm. And how manipulative that is. Like, I definitely never wanted to admit that, like, I was extremely manipulative in my relationships. I wanted to control the way that they dressed, how they got their hair cut. I wanted them to have certain career aspirations. I wanted them to have certain friends. You know, like, I wasn't dating the person. I was dating like the path towards them becoming the person I wanted them to be for me. And I couldn't see, I didn't want to see how manipulative that was, because I just thought that that's normal. You know, I'm making you better. I'm making myself better. You're supposed to be making yourself better. And our better is just supposed to be compatible. And if they're not, you're just lazy. It's not that I'm manipulative, it's that you're lazy. And I'm like, that is so toxic. It's like, no wonder. Thank goodness these relationships don't last. I don't want us to stay in the prison cell together forever. That's not worth it to me anymore. Just because I can interior decorate the prison doesn't mean that that makes it, you know, worth staying for. And so I enjoy now how much less effort I put into my friendships and my relationships, because a lot of that effort that was put in before was just because I wanted to show that I was a certain type of person and I wanted to be around a certain type of person. And now it's just like, the way that you show up is enough. And when it doesn't feel like we're resonating, that's what I say. It's not that you did anything wrong. It's not that I did anything wrong. It's not that you need to do something else. Just you being yourself is either going to resonate with me or it's not, and vice versa. And just because we don't resonate doesn't mean that anybody's doing anything wrong. Go out there, rock out with your cock out, you know, with good concern, you know, not literally, but I love the phrase, you know, like, have fun, do your thing. I'm not always going to like it, but I don't have to, and neither do you, it just feels like there's a lot less effort being given. Or a lot less effort that I feel is mandatory, right? Before, I used to feel like it was required. And now it's like, any effort that I'm putting in, it's just like effort that makes sense. You know, that doesn't seem like a requirement. It doesn't feel mandatory, and it doesn't feel like it's expected on both sides. And so it just feels like a nice surprise when I do a little something extra for someone, or they do something a little extra, and a friend is like, hey, let's go out to lunch on me. And I'm like, yeah, you sure? You good? Yeah, sure. Fuck yeah. I was like, all right. But that doesn't mean that when we go out to lunch with a friend that I'm ordering 12 lobsters, pack up 11 in the boxes to go, just make sure that they're at the door waiting for me. This is on her bill, you know, her credit card. You know, you make sure you send the bill to her. But, you know, thanks for lunch, Susan. You know, like, no, it's not that either. But it's like, if somebody does feel like, you know, a friend feels like taking me out for lunch, and we're in that kind of space, that'd be, I'd be like, that's awesome, you know? And it doesn't have to be much more than that. But I also, it's not an expectation that they have to take me out to lunch, you know? So it just feels like it's a lot lighter. It's a lot more fun in my friendships.
That's a good point to bring up too, is like allowing yourself to receive, or like allowing people to be nice to you without creating an expectation of yourself to like match their effort.
because I definitely can be guilty of that. Like, I feel like an obligation sometimes when people are really nice to me or like they're giving me a lot of attention to like reciprocate that in some way. But really, that's not my responsibility either. Mm-mm. It's not. So like that's something I have to remind myself of frequently. Like, just because this person likes you, like just because this person wants to talk to you this much or see you this much, doesn't mean you have to.
No.
Like, no, you can, yeah, like that's really just that on that. It's, mm-hmm. and that's, that pressure is really only coming from myself. And if the other person is giving with the expectation of getting something in return, then, you know, me maybe not reciprocating that is a good way to weed them out. 'Cause I don't want people that are, mm-hmm. trying to manipulate me by like saying nice things, doing nice things for me just so that I do it in return or just so that I like give them something that they want. 'Cause I don't think any relationship based on like a transactional relationship is like really worthwhile to have in your life. Like, all of my closest friendships are like friends that I can go months without talking to. And then like I call them up one day or we're like, hey, let's hang out. And we do, and nothing changed. And like neither of us are mad that life got in the way. Like, that's just how it goes. And so really those are most of my friends, because the ones that have expected more or like wanted to be a little too codependent, mm-hmm. they left my life when they realized that I'm not about that vibe. Like, they mm-hmm. they kind of weed themselves out when you just show up in a very light way in your relationships, right? Where you're just appreciating everything and being yourself, but not expecting anyone to act any sort of way towards you and like mm-hmm. checking your own need. Because it's not that the need will just go away immediately. Like, you're going to feel the temptation to like, you know, be jealous or like reach out to somebody when you're bored or like,
yeah,
try and keep them around in certain ways. Like, the feelings will still be there, but you can check yourself. And that's when you're able to have genuinely healthy, not codependent, not manipulative relationships. Mm-hmm. That's like the beauty of connection in its purest form. Mm-hmm. Because there's no concept that it's trying to fit into. There's no expectation, and so therefore there's no lack. And it's just mm-hmm. it's just, this is what's happening, and we can appreciate it for what it is fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do not negotiate with terrorists. No, I was kidding. But kind of people, I have been, you know, people could definitely be sort of like an emotional terrorist, you know, and it's like, no, I do not. If I have to, it's very unlikely that I will do, you know, and that's pretty much my stance for a lot of my friendships and relationships. It's like, no, you know, if you need me to, and therefore I have to in your world, I'm going to want to visit your world a lot less. You know, that's what it boils down to for me. And certainly I had a different, another challenge, not a different one, but an additional challenge of people confusing my openness for attraction, you know, and I think that is so, it's so understandable, you know, and it breaks my heart a little bit that, you know, our culture does not at the moment encourage healthy sharing. You know, it definitely encourages, in my opinion, a lot of codependency, a lot of need, a lot of have to's, a lot of, you know, required to. And, you know, so when someone is open with you, it's very easy for that to be confused with attraction. And, you know, me just treating a person like a whole person has been confused for them thinking that I want to be intimate with them, because openness feels very intimate. And I think that when people who don't experience a lot of that openness, don't know how to separate the two, where it's like intimacy, but they, I guess another way to say it is just that, you know, it's not that they don't get a lot of exposure to openness, is that they don't get a lot of exposure to intimacy. And the one intimacy that they tend to have an example of and experience, direct experience with, is physical intimacy. So when people are, when I'm open with someone, they will confuse, they will feel the intimacy of that openness. And they will think that because it feels intimate between us, that all that, that means that I also want to take it to that other very popularized version of intimacy. And, you know, it's a bummer. It's a bummer to have to kind of like burst that bubble and just to say like, no, I enjoy spending time with you. I like you. I like being friends with you. And I actually mean, I like being friends with you. I don't want to be your partner. I don't want to, you know, take you to bed. I don't want to take advantage of that. And that doesn't mean that we can't hang out, you know, but I think because our culture doesn't really encourage intimacy with your neighbors and your friends. And, you know, so people always think that intimacy means the bedroom, and it doesn't. But when you're open with someone and you're having a heart to heart, that's incredibly intimate. You know, we were in our Patreon calls, we were talking about hugs and, you know, talking about the retreats and how the retreats are such a wonderful environment where you experience a lot of openness, a lot of vulnerability, a lot of intimacy, but at no point is that intimacy being encouraged to become physical. Like, but we do encourage a lot of openness, a lot of vulnerability, because it's being vulnerable with yourself. It's being open with yourself, because that's what everyone else is there to do as well. And so I think it's very easy to confuse that openness with intimacy and with attraction. And so, you know, people will be developing little crushes, and it's like, yeah, but you don't actually really know what someone else is going on, like what someone else is going through. So, you know, just check in every once in a while. Am I attracted to this person? Because I actually have spent time with them, and I'm getting to know them, and I'm learning about their life, and I'm getting to them like friends do, like slowly and casually. Or, you know, or are they just open with me and I'm attracted to that openness? You know, and I think it's worth checking in on that, because I certainly have had experiences at retreats where people think that that's the place where they want to shoot their shot. And it's like, no, the retreats are not the place for you to take that crush and try to see if it can become something more than that. But it is an opportunity for you to be open with yourself, to be vulnerable with yourself, and then to share that experience with other people who are also showing up to be open with themselves in a way that they don't normally get encouraged to be open.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Amanda, because we do have a retreat coming up in a couple weeks. And, you know, we've had some incidents at the last couple retreats of people thinking that, you know, they're going to be able to make a move on their crush at the retreat. And that's a big reason why they're coming. And we just want to emphasize that this is not the place. At all. Okay. Like, we're practicing non-attachment. Okay. We're with our own shit on our own. And if you have feelings for somebody, that's not their responsibility. Don't put that on them. Don't put that on their plate on top of all the other shit that they're dealing with on their own at the retreat. Okay. Like, we want everybody to respect everyone else's space. Because we're all paying for, you know, the space and the opportunity to just have time to do whatever it is we want. And, yeah, we're not cool with people, you know, taking from anybody else's experience for mm-hmm. doing so. But yeah, I definitely relate to, having people get confused when you act like they've never had somebody be an active listener or like mm-hmm. open or like ask them about what they think or like what they're feeling or like what they're going through. Actually in my life, that's ruined a lot of friendships for me, like specifically with men, likely because I think our society doesn't really encourage men to be open and vulnerable with,
each other with their friends. They kind of just reserve that for romantic relationships. And so, like, when I've been friends with a guy, I treat them how I treat all of my friends. And within female friendships, emotional vulnerability and openness is very normalized. Like, I guess because it's more societally acceptable for women to be nurturing and open and like upfront about their emotions. And a lot of my male friends have gotten confused that I'm into them just because I like care about them as a person.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, you're just my friend.
You're not just a wallet that talks.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a whole person there. No shit, Sherlock. There's a whole person.
Yeah. It's like they're very clearly seeing me though as just a pretty girl who's filling their need, right?
Oh, that's true too. Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah, so it's going both ways. So it sucks, but like when that need becomes a thing in a relationship, it kind of, in my experience, has crumbled before me.
Yeah.
Especially like as soon as you're not willing to fill that need in the way that somebody wants, like they kind of want nothing to do with you anymore. It's like, okay, well, you were only in this for one reason.
Right.
Anyway, so that kind of sucks. But it's like when a relationship like that falls apart for that reason, it's like, okay, well, I can look at how I may have been over investing myself, or like if I'm really hurt by the loss of this friendship, I can learn from it. I can learn how I was attached, and I'm always going to be okay because I have me, and I know at the end of the day that's all I'm the only person I've ever going to be with in any way that's real. So
yeah,
but no fucking at the retreats. We'll say it loud and clear, okay?
All right, no confusion,
no trying shit, because everybody's going to call you on it, and then you're going to probably be embarrassed, and that's okay. Own up. Like, if you can own up to it, then and cut that shit out, you're allowed to stay. But if you can't get it together, you're gonna get booted.
Yeah, you know, if it ever came to that, somebody would be ejected. You know, thankfully, you know, that's why we're making an emphasis, because we're learning, right? We're learning as we're going, you know, and it's understandable. You know, our environment, our culture doesn't encourage openness. It doesn't encourage vulnerability. Women are more often allowed to be open and vulnerable. But like you had said before, Jackie, and you put it so beautifully, we are most open with each other. You know, I'm usually the most open and the most vulnerable with other women. And because that has always felt like a safe environment. And in the few instances that I was open and vulnerable with a man that I wasn't dating, it was easily confused as like, oh, I'm opening up to you as a friend, but that must mean that I like you. And it's like, no, those things are not synonymous. Friendship doesn't immediately imply physical intimacy or that something is desired. You know, it's just people being there for people. But, you know, our culture doesn't really encourage men to do that. And so they, you know, a lot of times in my experience, they have confused my openness as an invitation. And I have had to, you know, just tell them like, no, I actually really just enjoy your friendship, you know, and they usually disappeared after that. And that was such a shame, because it showed me that they were not seeing me as a friend. And even if I saw them as a friend, it, you know, friendship is a two-way street. And so it can't be one-sided. It won't work if it's one-sided. And then what I have learned most recently is just that, like, when it even does become physically intimate, the best time that I've ever had has been with somebody who was a friend first. And on some level, it feels like I am seen as a whole person by them. And that adds to the intimacy in a way that I hadn't expected or experienced before, because my relationships back in the day were very transactional. All of my relationships were transactional, friendships, platonic or not, intimate relationships with past boyfriends, it all felt super transactional because that's how I kept thinking. You know, I have to give something to get something. And if I'm not getting something, that I shouldn't be giving it. And I have to make sure that what I'm getting is also worth what I'm giving. And so there's all this measuring and there's all this, you know, value exchange rate. I'm like, what am I, like an emotional bank? Like, this is it's not worth it in my opinion anymore. And so that's why I recommend to all the people that I chat with, if relationships come up, I'm like, date from the friend group, you know. But, and I say that, you know, because friendship should be the foundation of any relationship, especially when it's about to become physically intimate. Because, you know, to want to be physically intimate with somebody who doesn't see you as a whole person just doesn't make sense to me anymore. So that's why I say that. But when we're going to the retreats, we are friendly. That doesn't mean that we're friends. If I don't talk to you ever outside of our retreat, outside of the retreat or outside of our Patreon groups, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that we actually have a friendship. You know, we're friendly, we get along, we chat, you know, we connect, but it just doesn't feel like that means that we're friends. And especially doesn't mean that we're friends who can take that next step to be physically intimate. You know, so if we're at a retreat and we've never hung out before, there's the potential for us to legit be friends. But just because we've laughed a couple of times on a Zoom call and a Patreon call doesn't mean that, like, we can just, take such a huge step in such a very different direction than anything that we've done before. Like, come on now. You know, because if somebody did that to you and you were not interested in them, you'd be like, this is a lot. This is moving really fast. And you would understand it. But when you're the person who wants to push and hit the fucking, you know, you're the person who wants to go from 0 to 160 seconds, you think it's totally fine to go that fast. It's not, you know? And so if you want to shoot your shot, try to do that either before the retreat, if you think you can handle whatever the fallout's going to be, because shooting your shot doesn't mean you always get a swish. I don't know if you knew that, you know, like, that's what I like. I don't know if you know that, like, just because I like someone doesn't mean they like me back. I thought that was clear. Apparently it's not. So if you're going to shoot your shot, always be ready. Be okay with missing. It doesn't have to go in. You don't have to get a yes. Somebody doesn't have to validate you. So if you're going to shoot your shot before the retreat, just be ready for them to not be interested and be okay with that. Or if it were me, I would be waiting for after the retreat. So that way we've at least hung out, and I can, you know, reach out and see, hey, would you be interested in having like a chat or a call? There's something I'd like to ask you, something I'd like to talk to you about. You know, I really like the way that you show up for yourself, you know, and, you know, I, you know, I'm attracted to you. You know, I don't know if it's mutual, but, you know, would you be interested in getting to know each other a little bit better with a different context for our one-on-one chats? You know, and if they'd be interested to it afterwards, then that's great. And if not, it'd be like, okay, well, I just, you know, you never know. So I had to ask, I had to find out. But I would do that after the retreat. And I would especially like to hang out in person, which is what I would do when I was on the dating apps. Having chemistry online is nice, but it's not everything. So I always wanted to meet, let's have a coffee, let's hang out. Is there actual chemistry? Yes. Okay. You know, I'm ready to keep going. If you are, you let me know, you know, and if not, and if there was no chemistry, I'd be like, all right, well, you know what? I'm so glad that we hung out. Are you cool with just being friends? Because I still love hanging out with cool people. So, you know, but there's no chemistry. So I could tell that's all right. So I always wanted to go on a physical date first before continuing to chat with somebody online, because in-person interactions gave me a great window into how relaxed was I showing up. And how relaxed was the other person? Are we actually being ourselves? Great. Let's continue to do that. If we're not, then I don't really see a point in moving forward. But that was my approach when I was on dating apps. So let alone a retreat, oh, I'm not shooting my shot beforehand. I definitely would do it afterwards. But that's my approach. So if you want to do it before, just be ready for the no. And be okay if you got the no. And be okay if you got the yes. It doesn't mean anything either way anyways.
Yeah. And even like, even if you have hung out with somebody like a handful of times, you deciding that they're the person for you and like being hellbent on it going a certain way with you guys, like you're very clearly attached to an idea of them. And that to me is so fucking unattractive at this point. Like, if somebody meets me and is like instantly like obsessed with me, I'm like, back the fuck. You do not know me at all. And this is just a clear indication that you don't really care to know me. Like, you just want to possess this thing that you think I am,
mm-hmm.
which isn't me. And I know that. So, like, I know that this is not going to work. So, yeah, like, and you don't even have to shoot your shot at all. Like, you can have a crush on somebody. And this is just my opinion. Like, and it's almost like when you tell them about it, there's an expectation of like some sort of reciprocation or an answer. Like, you want something else from them other than just like to appreciate them. And like, that's okay. Like, I'm not saying you can't engage in relationships, because they are really fucking fun. They are fun. And, you know, I still date. So there is a level of need there. But like, in terms of at the retreat and like with people in the community that you're friends with, like, actually think about whether that's something you actually want, or if you just like this person and resonate with them. But like, if we all live on opposite sides of the country or like different places, like, is it really worth it to try and shoot your shot? Just be their friend. Like, I don't know. That's kind of how I've been feeling like when I have crushes recently. It's like, okay, but that's like, I can have that crush and like be excited when I get to see somebody and I don't have to make it their problem.
Mm-mm.
Like, I can just appreciate them from afar. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and like building genuine relationships with people from that place first, it's like, that's always the best way to like approach any sort of relationship. Because if you go into it like with like romantic intent right away,
mm-hmm.
Like it skews the way that you perceive the person, and you're really not seeing them as a whole person. You're seeing them as this certain category of person, and like, you're attached to a certain outcome. And that's why like a lot of relationships that I've gone into, like, with that being the original thing, like, we started talking because we were attracted to each other. It's mm-hmm. like, once the romantic part is over, they're gone. Like, they're not part of my life anymore. But it's been cool more recently to like have relationships that are friendships, and then maybe something more happens, but then they can go back to friendships, because yeah. that was the foundation, and we both like appreciate each other as people first. Yeah. And that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. I know.
And it's a lot less hurtful, because like you, nothing is lost. You still can appreciate that person, even if they're not in your life in a specific way, because you were never expecting them to fill that need in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, and if they do, it's just like a bonus. That's just like cherry on top.
I know.
Like, it's like, wow, how amazing. But like, I'm not expecting this to always be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, because the friendship is its own Sunday. And, you know, being able to be physically intimate and have sex is like another whole scoop of ice cream. You're like, I didn't even know we could fit more ice cream on this cone. This is amazing. You know, like, it's incredible. Oh my goodness. With the cherry, you know, a scoop of ice cream and a cherry, you know, I love it. But definitely, Ray was putting in the chat, down with dating, down with it, you know, because it just, there are so many expectations that come when you're officially like, you know, someone's best friend. And it's like, they expect something different than you, than their other friends. And it's like, well, what's the difference between me and your regular friends? Right. And same thing with like when you're dating, there's so many expectations, and it takes time. It really does take time to get to know someone. You know, 9 days is, you know, I like in the comments, you know, 9 days really isn't enough time to make a deep enough connection to know that you would like to be physically intimate with somebody. and for it to not be using them, right? Because if you actually want to be friends with somebody, you're not rushing to cross a finish line in the friendship. That's, you know, but if you are rushing towards a finish line, it's like you're not seeing the person and you're acting in that way. So you don't even have to tell me that you don't see me as a person. I can feel it. I can feel it by the way that you're showing up, by the weight that you bring into our interactions. And so, you know, I definitely think it's worth, you know, going over and reiterating, you know, every once in a while in our calls and in our chats, because it's certainly something that's very easy to forget about. And because needs are so, so tempting, like you, and that's why you almost want to satisfy the need without looking at it, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Not if you actually want a friendship. And so, you know, I was talking with a younger friend of mine, and I was talking about the delivery of bad news. And I was saying that, in my opinion, when you actually give a fuck, when you actually care about someone being in your life long term, and you actually care about the friendship that you're in, you tend to always want to deliver bad news in person. That's usually how I do it. And the reason why I do it that way is because I want to see the other person, like how they process the information that I deliver to them. And I want them to see that it is also difficult for me to deliver that information. And it's very hard for us to feel the full scope of the emotional portion of bad news or tough news or pivots in a relationship or it pivots in a friendship. It's really hard to feel the emotional transition of that when you're doing it via text and when you're doing that via a call. You know, so if we're too far from each other, then, you know, I always like to have a phone call. And I really appreciate when somebody calls me to deliver quote unquote unpleasant news or bad news. But when I don't give a fuck, it is very much a text message and it is very much a ghosting, because I could care less if you stay in my life. I could care less how you take the information. I could care less about it at all. So that's what I was telling my younger friend, was just, you know, like when you actually do care, I recommend you deliver bad news in person or over the phone. Because, you know, you really get to share how it's also challenging for you. And it's challenging because you care about the other person's feelings and you care about their side. You care about not their side, but you care about their portion of the experience that you're both in the middle of. So if you want the friendship to go from friendship to intimate, I would absolutely just, you know, want to deliver that kind of news in person, you know, after, you know, actually being friends. Versus rushing to like, oh, I met you, we hung out one time, so now let's rush to the next. Like, no, that is not what I mean. But it's a lot easier, in my opinion, to deliver a big news in person, whether you want it to be positive or negative, if you actually care about the friendship lasting past anything else that's laid on top of it. I always follow up and say, like, it's also the most difficult way to deliver news is in person. But when I cared more about the relationship than I did, you know, just about my preferences, I would deliver it in person. If I only cared about my preferences, I usually didn't care about doing it in person. And so that's a good gauge for how I think other people navigate as well, is how it's how they deliver the words, not just the words that they pick.
Oh yeah. I've definitely been a person, like when I was a little bit younger, to have difficult conversations over text, because part of me didn't want to like own up to the way that I contributed to whatever situation. And it was easier to do it over text because I didn't have to see the impact.
Yeah. Right?
I didn't have to see the other person cry. Or whatever the situation was. And that's like, yeah, when I like really didn't give a fuck about it.
Me too.
I've been a fuck boy. I have. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh. But yeah, like the more that I've been able to take responsibility for my emotions and the more that I see like honesty as like demonstrating actual love and care for a person. It's been a little bit, it's never easy to do that shit in person. But it's the kindest thing you can do, right? Is be as honest as you can, mm-hmm. as, you know, and tell people the news as soon as possible as well. And the times that I've like
put off having those tough conversations was because I was still holding on to something. And I was afraid of like a situation changing. And that's just lack of faith in myself and in the other person to deal with it. I'm like fighting off a sneeze right now. But yeah, I like what Ray just put in the comments. We'll create a DU dating app that just says stop being so needy, go for a walk.
That's right. That's damn right. You know, the need is out of control. And it just because it feels it, you know, it's very easy to be like, oh, I'm a nice person. And it's like, fuck that. Are you an honest person? I'd rather you be honest than nice. So I definitely appreciate that. And when you're in person, it's a lot harder, at least for most people, it's a lot harder to forget that you're talking to a person when they're standing in front of you. Like, it's very easy to forget that a whole person exists when you're talking to them via text. It's very easy to just see that they're just like a means to an end. But when you're in person with somebody, it is very hard to forget that there's a whole person there. And so that's another reason why I like doing things in person or over the phone, because also hearing someone talk, you know, and nowadays we have all this technology. It's like, it doesn't have to be FaceTime, but you know, when you care, it doesn't seem like such a big price to pay to chat with somebody in person and to just tell them, you know, there's big news. And it's like, big news, I want to go in a direction that I think is positive, or big news, I think I'd like to go in a direction that I think is positive, but you might not because I'm breaking up with you. But that's still a positive thing for me because it's exciting. It's me being honest about how I want to spend my time. And that's why I appreciate when other people are honest with me. And I do my best to reiterate that when they're talking to me, like, you know what? Yeah, you can hear that I don't love this information, but thank you so much for being honest. Thank you so much for telling me this, because you didn't have to. And I know this. I know you don't have to, but it means so much to me that you did. You know, give me some time, but then I'd love to grab a beer with you. I'd love to, you know, because at some point I have to just get the fuck over it, and vice versa. And so that's why I think it's important to not only look at why you do something, but how you do something. And not think about it too much, but just, you know, it's just another consideration. You don't have to be obsessed about it, but you know, it tends to work out really well when you take these considerations for other people. You know, and email alert, go for a while. The chats are doing great. But I think this is a great place for us to wrap up our live show and a couple announcements. The California retreat still has 2 tickets available. I'm going to put up the QR code. That's April 11th through April 15th at Big Bear Lake, California. I'm so excited, Jackie, to hang out with you and to see you in a few weeks, man.
Yeah, the karaoke machine should be arriving in the mail today, so we'll be in business. Oh God, I can't fucking wait. It's going to be just the best time. So if you can join us, take advantage. Like, the retreats are so fun, so relaxed, and there's going to be a lot of cool fucking people to talk to. So come on down if you can. It's going to be in Big Bear Lake, and the weather in California is beautiful right now. And in another month, it's only going to be warmer. And I just can't wait to like hang out in the pool or in the hot tub. We're going to do yoga. So if you can make it, come on down. And if not, we'll be live next Friday, same time. What else? We got Patreon calls 5 days a week if you want to join us there. Always amazing conversations to be had. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.